Okay, so on the Gemara, on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the sugya just after the whole sugya of Tkufos. On Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. As we mentioned, we're going to do a little bit of Chazara. We normally do Chazara quite quickly, we're assuming, we're hoping, but everybody has done Chazara several times anyway. This is just to recap it together. If I go too fast, then please stop me. There is always a Yetzer Hara that tells us not to do Chazara. The Yetzer Hara tells us, no, it's always fun. It's always exciting to explore new territory rather than going back on old territory. But the truth is, we can really be Koina the Gemara when we do Chazara. We learn it first time or second time. It's really just to get to know it. When we do proper Chazara, then we can get it really clear. Okay, we're going to go a little bit quickly, as mentioned. If I go too quickly, please stop me. We're on the Gemara, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The first word on the line, it's about 15 lines from the top, is Asifo. Says the Gemara, Smichas Zakenim. Smichas Zakenim, ordaining the elders. Tana Rabbanan, V'samchu Ziknei. Quote, unquote. Now, what does this mean, smichas zakenim? If you remember from the Mishnah on that base on the Aleph, this is talking about when the tzibur are bringing a korban, quite a rare type of korban, we hope, called the par, cow, of the helam dovah. Helam dovah means when a mistake was made, the bezdin paskened a particular shaila, it turned out to be a mistake, as a result of which, Klal Yisrael were now over an Avera. So a korban has to be brought on behalf of the entire Tzibur. This is called a par helem dovo shel Tzibur. So the Zakenim have to be soimich, have to rest their hands on the korban, as it were, to do vidui, to make a confession, whoopsie, make a confession, as it were, and to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for kapara, for the mistake that was made. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, V'samchu Zakenei, or Ziknei, Ziknei is of course plural. Yochoel Ziknei Hashuk, I may have thought that any Zakenim will suffice, even if it's Zakenim from the Shuk, meaning they don't have to be the biggest experts. Talmud Loma, no, Eidol. Eidol means they have to be very, very special. I Eidol Yochoel Ketanei Eidol. Maybe it's true, they can't just be roped in off the streets, but maybe they don't have to be the absolute biggest of the biggest. Talmud Loma, hot Eidol, with that hey at the beginning, they've got to be absolutely top of the Sanhedrin. Miyuchadin Sheba Eidol, the Miyuchad, the most special Dayanim, those are the ones who have to take Achrayas, obviously, for causing this mistake to have happened. V'kamor Hein, and how many do you need altogether? So it says, V'samchu, quote unquote, that's plural, that's Shnayim, that's two. Then it says Ziknei, that's another two, that's Shnayim, four altogether, Ve'en Bezdin Shokol, you can't have an even number Bezdin, therefore Moisifim Aleihem Oid Echad, altogether Harikan Chamisha, that brings you to the magic number five, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, no. Yes, I admit Ziknei is Shtayim, but that's where it ends. He did not darshan for the moment the word V'samchu, as we'll see in a moment. So it says, Ziknei, Ziknei, Shtayim, Ve'en Bezdin, Shokul, Moisifim, Aleim, Oid Echad, Harikan, Shloisha. So you have two, you can never have an even number. As Larry, I think, pointed out at the time, this Gemara is a chiddush to us, because here we're not talking about a Bezdin, as it were, coming to adjudicate for or against. It's just a process that they have to go through. So what's wrong with having an even number? I perhaps would have thought that to have an even number on a bezdin is only a problem when there's a whole trial. Some are going to say chayev, some are going to say potus. You can't be left without a majority. But here I'm learning that no, wherever the bezdin perform anything, any type of process, it's always got to be an even number. So we have our machlokes. It's got to be an odd number. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be five dayanim. Rabbi Shimon says it's got to be three dayanim. Rabbi Shimon says the Gemara. But after all, it does say the Samchu, quote unquote. So how can you just, as it were, ignore that word? Surely Rabbi Yehuda is right. He says, no, that's needed for its own simple meaning, meaning it's not available for a drasha. Rabbi Yehuda, no, legufei lo tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not needed for its own simple translation and is available for a drasha. Why? De'im kein, de'loi osi v'samchu l'drasha, because if you're going to say that the word v'samchu is not available for a drasha, as indeed Rabbi Shimon claims, then lichtoiv zikne ho'eda yedehem al roish hapor. It would have been enough to write zikne ho'eda yedehem. The zikne ho'eda have to have their hands, and obviously they've got to rest their hands. So you don't have to write the word v'samchu at all. So therefore, v'samchu is a spare word and available for a drasha. Says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Shimon iksim hochi. If it would have written that, if it would have just said zikne ho'edim yedehem al roish. Hava amina my al. What does the word al mean? Al can just mean above. It doesn't have to be on top of. So maybe al means besamuch. So maybe they have to rest their hands. That's true. But it doesn't have to actually be resting, leaning on the par. Maybe if it's samuch. Maybe even if there's a gap between the hands and the par, maybe that's also sufficient. And that's why I need the extra word besamuchu to tell us, no, they've really got to place their hands on the cow, and not just vertically above the cow, and therefore it's not available for a drasha. Says the Gemara, no, I disagree. Rabbi Yehuda says it is available for a drasha because gomar roish roish me oila. Because I can always learn from another korban from oila, just like the oila, it says quite clearly that absolutely you've got to place the hands on top of the animal, not just vertically above. So too, the same would apply over here, and therefore the word v'samchu is absolutely spared. Rav Shimon says, and no, it's not. Loi goma roish roish me'ola. He did not learn that gzeira shava, as we pointed out many, many, many times. You cannot just darshan a gzeira shava as you wish. You've got to have a masayris from your Rebbe that this is a drasha. So Rav Shimon never had such a masayris. And therefore, roish roish me'ola is not available. He's got to learn it locally. And that is that the word v'samchu is absolutely necessary. So it turns out in the final analysis, we have machloikas between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. Is the word v'samchu a spare word? Is it available for a drasha? If it is, and it's an extra two dayonim, so it goes up from 3 to 5. And if not, it remains at 3. Says the Gemara, Tana. Smicha v'smichas zakenim. The Mishnah spoke about smicha zakenim, which we've just discussed. It's the elders resting their hands on the korban. So what's the other principle mentioned in the Mishnah of smicha? Smicha v'smicha zakenim. Says the Gemara, and both of them, they're begimel, but what is it referring to? My smicha, my smicha zakenim. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, mismach sabi. This is talking about nothing at all to do with what we were just talking about a moment ago, which is the elders resting their hands on the korban. This is giving smicha, ordaining an elder. Nothing to do with the korban, but rather it is ordaining, giving smicha, and that needs 3 dayonim. How do I know? Says the Gemara, this is a bit tricky. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, mismach sabi, omer Abai Rabbi Yosef, mismach sabi, b'shloisha minolon. How do you know that you have to have 3 dayonim to ordain another one? Maybe a Rebbe can give smicha to his Talmud and that's it, 1 to 1. Why'd have to have 3 to 1? E layman, if you're going to suggest midiksiv, v'yismoich es yodov olav, quote unquote, this is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu giving smicha to his Talmud Yeshua. Well, where does it say anything in that pasuk about 3 people? E hochiv, so tiski b'chad, so surely it suffice with 1, just like Moshe Rabbeinu as an individual gave smicha to his Talmud Yehoshua, so maybe forevermore any Rebbe can give smicha to his Talmud, and I should not require 3. Says the Gemara, v'chi teiman, if you're going to suggest to me that no, Moshe Rabbeinu is not just considered one person, Moshe b'mokoim shivim v'chad koi, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu really stands in place of all 71, well then, mamonoshech, ihochi liboy shivim v'chad, well then I should need 71. So how do I view Moshe Rabbeinu giving smicha to his Talmud? Do I consider that as if one person is giving the smicha or as 71 people? The way it's not 3. And the Gemara says, you're 100% right. Kasha. We leave this unresolved. It's not clear what is the Torah source that smicha requires three dayanim. Omale Rav Acha brei the Rav Rav Ashi beyoda mamish samchin le. Do they actually? This is a question Rashi explains. Why do we call it smicha when a rabbi, when a rav, a rebbe ordains his talmid? Why do we call this smicha? We've just been discussing smicha zakenim. Now over there, it clearly means actually resting the hands on the hand on the head of the cow. So why do we call smicha smicha? Does the rebbe also have to rest his hands on the head of the talmid? That's the question. Beyoda mamish, literally with his hands, samchin le, he's got to place his hands on his talmid's head. Is that what's going on? Omar le, no. Samchin le bishmo. What it means is no. You don't have to rest. Rather, the word smicha apparently translates, you're giving smicha bishmo. What does it mean, bishmo? By name. You're giving him a new name. What is his new name? Kori le Rebbe. From now on, he's called Rebbe, or nowadays, I guess the title Rabbi. But again, it's Harav, means he's got smicha. V'yo'avilei reshuse, and also he's officially been given permission, lemeidan dinei knosses. You'll remember we discussed at the time, for reasons we will not go into now again, but in order to be a dayon, you do not have to have smicha for most halachas. Obviously, you have to be a Talmud Chacham, you have to know the relevant halachas. But you only need smicha to judge halachas of a knas. As we know, a knas is a penalty. A knas is always when you're paying more than the damage that was inflicted. So if you steal something, one cow, and you've got to pay two, obviously that's a knas. If I shecht it and I've got to pay four times the original amount or five times, that's obviously a knas. Those types of halachas have special status, and that needs smicha. So the Gemara is telling us, therefore, when a Rebbe gives his Talmud smicha, or more accurately, when the three Dayanim give the Talmud smicha, what in fact is happening? Two things. Firstly, he changes his title. He's now called Rebbe. And secondly, he has officially been given Rishus to Paskan Shailas of Knasses. Says the Gemara, V'chad loy somich. Are you really telling me once again that one person, one Rebbe, cannot give smicha to his Talmud? And he's got to have three? Is that really true? The Ha'omar, Rabbi Yehuda Omarav. We have a statement to the name of Yehuda Omarav, Bram, Zochor Oisei Ha'ish Latoiv. Who is the Zochor Oisei Ha'ish Latoiv? Which person is remembered? Well, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Shmoi. So there was a Eligatana called Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who is remembered Latoiv. She'il Molehu, if not for him, Nishtakhu Dine Knosses mi Yisrael. All of the halachas of Knosses would have been forgotten from Yisrael. Apparently, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. That's what it sounds like at first glance. And he was the only one who was proficient in the halachas of Knosses. Says the Gemara, what do you mean, without him it would have been forgotten? Why would it have been forgotten? Nishtakhu? Question mark. So, Nigrasinu, why can't he teach others? He's the only one who knew the halachas and he wouldn't teach anybody else. What does that mean, the halachas of Knosses would have been forgotten? Says the Gemara, no, Ella, what it means is, Boklu dine Knosses mi Yisrael. They would have been bottled, not that they would have been forgotten. He could have quite easily given shiurim on the halachas of knas. That's not the subject. The subject is that the problem was that they were bottled. The halachas of knosses mi Yisrael were bottled. Why were they? The Gemara explains, shepam achas, on one occasion, gozra malchus harasho'o gzeira al Yisrael. The wicked kingdom once made a decree on Klal Yisrael, and they said, Shekol ha-soymeich yehoreg. Anybody who gives, who issues smicha, will be killed, number one. Number two, v'kol ha-nismach yehoreg. Not only the person giving the smicha, but also the one who has received the smicha, will also be killed, number two. Number three, v'ir she-soymchim bo. the town in which the smicha is given over, Techorev will be destroyed, the tumin, shesimchin bohem yaakra, and all the outskirts, the tum, will also be wiped out. So they were absolutely vehemently against anything to do with smicha. Ma also Yehuda ben Bava. So what did Yehuda ben Bava do? Yehuda ben Bava was determined to make sure smicha was given. Now, why was Yehuda ben Bava so determined to continue smicha? The answer is, as we just saw in the previous Gemara, because otherwise there would not be an adjudication of Dinei Knossos. And that's what it means, that without Yehuda ben Bava, the halachas of Knossos not would have been forgotten. Rather, it would have been bottled. Why would it have been bottled? Because had he not given smicha, as we're about to see in the next part of this story, then nobody would have received smicha, and however proficient they may be in these halachas, but they cannot judge Dinei Knossos. So what did he do? Holach v'yoshav loy ben shnei horim gedolim. He sat himself down between two mountains, ubein shnei ayores gedolos, between two large cities, ubein shnei tchumei shabbos. In other words, he placed himself on the outskirts of the town, but not quite within the tchum, so that nobody else should be in trouble as a result of him, because had he given smicha in the town, as we just saw, the whole town would have been wiped out. And he gave smicha. Where was this? Bein usha l'shafram, v'somach shom chamisho zakenim. And he gave smicha to five elders. Who are they? Ve'eluhein Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, Reb Yosi, Reb Elazar ben Shmuel. Reb Avi Moisef, Afra of Nechemia, maybe there was another one as well. It was actually six altogether. Kiven shehik hiru oyveihem. Once the enemy found out about this, that Yehuda ben Bava was issuing smicha, which was against the law of the time, Omar Lohem, so Yehuda ben Bava all of a sudden realized that his life is in serious danger. Not only is his life in danger, but all his Talmidim as well, as we just said. The Gzeir was both for the one giving the smicha and the one receiving it. So he told them, Bonai Rutsu, run away. Run away, you're in a situation of danger. And they said, what about you? Omruloi Rebbe Mate Olecha, what's going to be with you? Omar Lohem, no, I'm staying here. Harini Muta Lifneem, Ke'even She'im Lahoifchim, like an unmovable rock. And indeed, he got killed in a very, very terrible way. Omruloi Zozom Isham, he didn't move from there. The enemies came, they found him, and they killed him in a brutal way. Ad Shenoat Suboy Shloish Meyos Lumbiyos Shel Barzel. They stabbed him with 300 spears of metal. Va'asuhu Kekivra. And they made his body, as it were, they pierced it so many times, they made it like a sieve. Either way, a very, very tragic story. But either way, that's the end of the story. Now, what's the question of the Gemara? You see that who is issuing smicha over here? Yehuda ben Bava by himself. So Yehuda ben Bava, even though the Gemara said is zochur latoiv, is remembered very favorably. Why? Because without him, we would not have Dinei Knossos anymore. Not that halachas would have been forgotten. But like we said, without smicha, you cannot judge Dinei Knossos. So what did he do? At great personal risk, he in fact gave smicha. But if he gave smicha, surely he's doing so as an individual. And didn't we just say that smicha can only ever be given in the presence of three dayanim? That's the question where I am. Says the Gemara, no, there really were three, don't worry. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Achrina Havu Bahadei. There were others with him as well. He was not sitting alone. So why do we only mention Yehuda ben Bava? Bahai Deloy Choshev Lohu. The reason why we did not mention the other dayanim who were with him, he did have three at the time, is Mishum Kvoidoi Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Out of honor, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So there certainly were three. We only mention him because he was clearly the most prominent of the three. We want to be Mechabadim. But don't think for a moment that there were only one Dayan at the present at the time. No, there were absolutely three Dayanim present at the time. And therefore, the rule remains intact. In order to give smicha, one has to have three Dayanim. Says the Gemara, now we're going to query this story. For Rabbi Meir, we mentioned that one of the Talmidim that Yehuda ben Bava gave smicha to was Rabbi Meir. Is that really true? For Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava samche. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was really the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Meir. If anybody dares suggest that Rabbi Meir lo samchei Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Akiva did not give smicha to Rabbi Meir, he's very much mistaken. In other words, who gave smicha to Rabbi Meir is Rabbi Akiva. And whoever says otherwise is mistaken. So what's going on over here? We have one statement that seems to indicate that Rabbi Akiva gave him smicha, and anybody who suggests otherwise is making a grave mistake. And yet in the story that we just learned, it seems quite clear that no, Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha. So what's going on? Who actually ordained him? Says the Gemara. Somche Rabbi Akiva. Both are true. Initially, Rabbi Akiva, in fact, gave him smicha. However, v'loi kiblein. It was not accepted. Rashi says because he was still a bocha, he was too young. So therefore, who gave him smicha? Was it Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? And the answer was it was both. Got it first time round, second time round. Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, ein smicha b'chutz la'aretz. There is no smicha in chutz la'aretz. Now, what does that mean? My ein smicha. What does that mean, quote unquote, that there's no smicha? Ilema. If you're going to tell me deloy dine dine knosa is klal b'chutz la'aretz, as we've mentioned several times already, the whole purpose of smicha is in order to allow a dayon to judge dine knosis. Now, if you're telling me that there's no smicha in chutz la'aretz, are you trying to suggest that there were no dinim of knosis in chutz la'aretz? Is that what you're trying to suggest? That can't be. Well, tonight we have a mafurish mishnah, Sanhedrin, noyheges, bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. A Sanhedrin, a fully functional Sanhedrin, including the halachas of knosis, is to be found both in Eretz Yisrael and also in chutz la'aretz. So therefore, certainly, dine knosos can exist in chutz la'aretz as well. So what does that mean that there's no smicha in chutz la'aretz? It says the Gemara Elo, what it means is deloy samchinon b'chutz la'aretz. Not that you cannot adjudicate the halachos of dine knosos, but smicha cannot be issued in chutz la'aretz. Once you have smicha, as we're about to see in a moment, then you can go to chutz la'aretz and you can Paskan halachas of knosis, but it cannot be issued in chutz la'aretz. Says the Gemara. One moment. Let's try and examine that a little bit more. Pshita. That's obvious that soimchin b'chutz la'aretz, v'nismochin ba'aretz, ha'amrin on deloy. Certainly, one thing for sure does not work. To issue smicha in chutz la'aretz, to be able to practice in Eretz Yisrael, you've already just told me that no, absolutely not. You cannot issue smicha in chutz la'aretz. Okay, that definitely does not work. Elo, what about the other way around? Soimchin ba'aretz, v'nismochin b'chutz la'aretz. What happens if the Rebbe issuing smicha is in Eretz Yisrael? The Talmid receiving it is standing in chutz la'aretz. Remember we said smicha doesn't literally mean you put your hands over his head. If it did mean that, you cannot have one in Eretz Yisrael and one in America. No, smicha is a process in which he's declared as Rebbe and he can paskin dinei knosis. So what happens if the one issuing the smicha is in Eretz Yisrael, the one receiving the smicha is in chutz la'aretz? Says the Gemara, my, what's the lachar blari?
So what did they do in the Talmud Bava, when all of the learning and all of the halachas, everything, Talmud Bava, everything was outside Eretz Yisrael, and then Ezra says, come back. So what was the plan that when they came back, they were all somech, got smicha in Bavel, and now they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and none of them are going to be accepted? Like, how does that work?
Okay, good question. Let's keep on going. See if we have an answer. Says the Gemara Toshima. We can bring a proof from the following. It says the Rabbi Yochanan have a mitzta'er olel. Rabbi Yochanan was very, very aggrieved, very, very upset about the following. What was he upset about? He was mitzta'er olel the Rabbi Shimon ba'abo deloy have a gabayu delismachim. He was very upset that Rabbi Shimon ben Abba was not with him. Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael. He was very upset about his Talmud Shimon ben Abba, who was not with him in order to issue smicha. The loy have a gabay with the lismache. So what do you see from that? Why was he upset that his Talmud was not with him in order to give him smicha? Well, clearly that suggests that if Rabbi Yochanan is an Eretz Yisrael, then he cannot issue smicha to his Talmud in Chutz Laaretz, and that's why he was so upset. What a shame that my Talmud in Chutz Laaretz did not come to Eretz Yisrael for me to give him smicha. So again, the Gemara asked the Shaila, can smicha be issued from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz? Well, apparently not, because if it can be, why was he upset that his Talmud didn't come to him? You can issue smicha across seas. Says the Gemara, Reb Shimon ben Zirud v'chad de'ime. Reb Shimon ben Zirud and one other, who was there? Some say it was different. Reb Yonis ben Achmoy v'chad de'ime man Reb Shimon ben Zirud. Chad da'ave gabayo samchuhu. The one who was with him was given smicha. V'chad de'loy have a gabayo So again, you see, this confirms what we just said a moment ago, that the only way that somebody in Eretz Yisrael can issue smicha is if the Talmud from Eretz Yisrael actually comes to Eretz Yisrael. Once he comes to Eretz Yisrael and he receives smicha, then he can surely go back to Chutz Laaretz. As we said before, you can have a fully functional Beis Din in Chutz Laaretz. No question about that. But smicha cannot be issued in Chutz Laaretz. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina, v'Rebbe Hoshea, have kom mishtakid. Rashi says mishtakid. They were trying to get smicha. Have kom mishtakid, Rabbi Yochanan lemismechinu. But lo yavim mistayim milsa. But it didn't work out. They were trying to get smicha. It did not work out. Have kom mitzta'er tuva. So Rabbi Yochanan was very upset. Omrulei loy nitzta'er mar. So his Talmidim said, well, to be perfectly honest, the Rebbe should not be upset. Why? Because in all honesty, we should not really be getting smicha. The Anan mid the base Eli ka'osinon. We come from the house of Eli. And what's wrong if you come from the house of Eli? The Omer of Shmuel ben Nachman, Omer of Yonasan Minayim, She'ein nismochin the base Eli. You cannot give smicha to the house of base Eli. How do I know? There should never be an elder in your home, in your house, all your years. As we mentioned when we learned this Gemara, Eli HaKohen was of course a great tzaddik, but unfortunately his children did not follow his path, and therefore the Novi Shmuel said, that's it, there's never going to be a zokin in your family. Now, what does that mean there won't be a zokin? What does that mean? My zokin, Elena zokin mamish, if it means they won't be elder, mean they won't reach an old age, well, that's obvious. It says, Kol Marbis Beis Chayamusu, Anoshim. It says, everybody's going to die young. So if anybody in that house is going to die young, obviously, I don't need to say they're not going to live to old age. You've already said that. Elo, what does it mean? Elo smicha. Rather, it means not that they won't be old age, they won't become an elder. And that's why these Talmidim said to Rabbi Yochanan that, to be all honest, in all honesty, it actually worked out very well that we didn't get smicha, because in all honesty, we don't deserve smicha, because we emanate from the house of Eli.
Is that Shekhanah Chachma, Kilo?
Right, 100%. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Reb Zeira have a mitmar lemismachay. What does mitmar mean?
Hi.
He was what, sorry?
To hide.
He was hiding. Why was he hiding? In other words, he was trying to avoid smicha. The Omer Belazel Oilom have a kabel v'kayom. Kabel means you should avoid the limelight. The kiv and the shami. Then he heard Lahomad Rabbalazel who said, "Ain adam oile legdula elim kein moichlin oyakol avanaisal." When you're oile legdula, you get promoted. and all your sins are forgiven. He said, oh, if that's the case, well, it's worth getting smicha. Amsilein nafshis. Then he reappeared out of his hiding. When they gave smicha to Reb Zeira, they sang the following song, very strange type song. No perfume, no makeup, and he has chen. So we explained at the time that this song, which obviously is metaphoric, but what it really means is a Talmud Chacham doesn't need any external trappings. External is all about the internal, about the panimius. If it doesn't need, as it were, makeup, etc., etc. Kisom chuler of Amir or Asi, they sang a different song. Storily hochi, kol min dein, smuchulono, loy sismuchulono, loy mas mermitin, veloy mas mermisin, veomrilo loy machmisin, veloy maturmisin. So Rashi explained these were all different compliments. What he was saying is that really, yes, these are the appropriate type people who should get smicha, and not people who are rishoyim and don't deserve it, but these absolutely do deserve it. When he was in the palace of the king, Nofki Mitaranisa, a princess went out and sang for him. The Bekeso Masharian Le Rabba Dama, you are the rabbi of your nation. Medabrina de Umsa Butsina de Nahara. Butsina de Nahara means tall and elegant and handsome. Brich Messiah Rasholim, and you should have Sholim. Okay, we have to hold it over here. I'm afraid I have another bris I must attend to this morning. We're going to resume Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach on Sunday, which will be the day after, not the day after Shavuos, but the day after Yisru Chag. We will continue our Chazorah and we'll take it up from over here, Arifas Egla Rufo. And Mitz Hashem, everybody should have in the meantime a wonderful Yom Tov Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach. Larry, I'm in the middle of reading a shir. That's great.
Are you giving shir tonight?
I think not. I think not. I'm going to send out an email tonight.
Okay. By the way, I just I didn't need you to review it or anything. I just wanted to give. I took it right from Rev Waxman. Believe me, and I asked his permission. Also, I didn't just.
Well, beautiful book. I'm in the middle of reading, and I thoroughly enjoyed it so far. Whatever I've read.
Thank you so much.
Okay, be well.